Today we continue with our Advent encounters, and we will be focusing on Zechariah, father of John the Baptist. Advent is, of course, about waiting and preparation. The lead up to Christmas can definitely involve much getting ready and busyness. And the children, and some of us older ones too, wait and wait and wait for the big day to come. And this time of year provides us with plenty of material to consider waiting on the Lord, not just for Christmas, but for his plans to unfold, for our prayers to be answered. Sometimes this involves us making preparations. Other times, God gives us a period of waiting while he does the preparing, putting everything in place perfectly for his will to be done. I would like to introduce you now to Zechariah.
It all began with one roll of the dice. That is how I, Zechariah, was chosen to do the priestly duties at the temple on that unforgettable evening. Of all the priests in my division, I was chosen by lot to burn incense at the altar. As an old man, it was probably my last time to do it, my last roll of the dice. You see, I had no son to follow me as priest, no son to train up in these duties. My wife, Elizabeth, and I were resigned to the truth that we would never have a child. It's just the way the dice roll, I guess. But that day in the temple, everything changed. The impossible became possible. It happened like this. I climbed the steps and cautiously pushed open the door into that holy place. And the fire glowed on that most holy altar of incense. I carefully spooned the fragrant incense onto the glowing coals, and clouds of perfumed smoke rose up to fill the whole space. You see, the incense was like the prayer of God's people rising up, a pleasing sacrifice. And from outside, I could hear the shouts of prayer and praise of the people. And the prayer of my heart was added to theirs. My duty completed, I was about to turn and to rejoin them, to give them a final blessing. Suddenly, unexpectedly, at the right side of the altar, an angel of the Lord appeared before me. My weak knees trembled. I was shocked and terrified. Was this my dying moment? Had this messenger from God come to lead me safely home to the bosom of Abraham? I dropped to the floor in fear. And then the angel spoke. He said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. This will be a joy and a delight to you, and many more will rejoice when he is born. He will be one of God's great men, He will touch neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. He will turn many of Israel's children to the Lord their God. He will go out before God and in the spirit and power of Elijah to reconcile fathers and children and to bring back the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And he will make a people fully ready for the Lord. Could this be? I dared to open my mouth. I stuttered. But how can I be sure? I said. I am an old man, and my wife is not far behind me in years. The odds are stacked against us. Immediately I regretted voicing my doubts, as if the angel of the Lord didn't already know all this. The angel spoke again with more force. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. But because you do not believe what I have said, you shall live in silence, and you shall not be able to speak until the day this comes to pass. But be sure that everything I have said will happen in due time. The angel disappeared. I rose. I stumbled down the steps to give the blessing over the people who were growing impatient at my delay. I raised my arms and I opened my mouth to speak, to give the blessing. They all knew what should come out of my mouth. The Lord bless you and keep you. But I couldn't speak. Perhaps some of them laughed at the old man. I was lost for words, too blessed to give a blessing. When my temple duties were ended, I returned home to Elizabeth. I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell her what had happened. I couldn't speak of this promise. But my other senses flourished. I listened to my wife as she rejoiced over her unforeseen pregnancy. I put my hand on Elizabeth and touched the growing bump of my miracle son. Elizabeth and myself prepared the way for John, who would prepare the way for the Messiah. In silence, I served my punishment. Eventually, I swapped disbelief for belief. I swapped my silence for a song. And months later, I am now able to tell you my story, the story of Zechariah. You know my name, Zechariah, means the Lord has remembered. The Lord did indeed remember. The impossible became possible. God overruled the slim chances, and it became the great possibility.
We don't wait alone or in vain. God goes ahead and prepares us. A couple of weeks ago, I went to speak at the Clare Baptist Church Ladies Breakfast and I was there with my Youth for Christ hat on. One of the ladies there had a pack of playing cards, not normal playing cards, but ones with Bible verses on, and she gave one out to us, each of us, randomly, just as a small gift, and this is the one that I received, and I keep it in my wallet now. And what it says is this: wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. That's Psalm 27, verse 14. And that was a great encouragement to me when she gave it to me, when I read it, because I'm waiting on the Lord for something that I keep bringing before him. And then as I started to prepare for this service, I think God reminded me of this verse that I've got here. Elizabeth and Zechariah may have clung on to these very words as they longed for a baby. Waiting is good. Waiting is a gift from God, I believe. It's woven through the world that he created, time for development and growth. Ripening takes time. We watch fruit and vegetables grow, but we must wait until they're ready for harvesting. And isn't the anticipation and the holding back worth it when we finally bite into that delicious apple or strawberry or tomato? We're very familiar with the convenience of buying things immediately. We pop to the shops for what we need and it's there on the shelf waiting for us. And if that isn't possible, then we just go online and within a few clicks we can order anything that we like 24 hours a day and it wings its way to us. I don't actually have a problem with that because it does make life a lot easier in many ways. In fact, I once had to run out to Argos in the middle of baking a cake because my electric hand mixer gave up the ghost as I was mixing. And I don't have very strong arm muscles, basically. So I made the effort to go and buy another hand mixer in the middle of baking. And within about 20 minutes, I was back in the kitchen making my nice cake. And I wouldn't want to risk, I wouldn't want to give that up, I suppose. I like that. But we do risk losing the blessings that come with waiting. Developing patience, finding contentment in the moment, experiencing hope, that expectation that something good is going to happen. How often do we stop to enjoy the thought of what the future might hold? Hopefully it's often. Maybe we look ahead to a holiday or a day off, lunch with a friend, perhaps even what God has in store for us next. I think preparation in itself can be a blessing as well. Time and energy getting ready so that we can enjoy whatever it is that's coming up and do our best. There can be reflection as we wait. Time to think and to pray. I wonder if Zechariah and Elizabeth had given up hope on their prayer being answered for a baby. I suppose that as they were past childbearing age, and because Zechariah questioned Gabriel in the temple about how that would be possible, they may well have let go of their dream and their prayers. It would seem natural. We must acknowledge that sometimes waiting can bring fear and doubts. What happens when the hope dies? When the light at the end of the tunnel is out of action until further notice, as Peter mentioned last week? What happens when what we anticipate isn't going to end well? Well, this does happen too. We live in a broken world. Is there a way through these dark times? For surely they will come. Let's look at the big picture. When God created the world, he already had a rescue plan in place. He already knew it would be needed. Jesus, who was there before anything was brought into existence, was destined to be born into his own created world, to share our brokenness, and to take it all on himself. This wasn't plan B, it was always God's plan A. Zechariah, silenced for a time, packs a punch when his tongue is set free. God set up maximum impact through his servant. Silenced on that day that he went into the temple, there's an assembly of people worshipping outside and waiting for him to return to them. But he can't speak. That certainly would have got everybody talking, if not Zechariah himself. And they realise that he had had a holy encounter. Word would have spread and the waiting began for Elizabeth and Zechariah, but for the community too. What was God doing in that situation? They also had time to ponder and reflect. And then the time comes. The baby is born. He's presented at the temple and the neighbours are there, Luke tells us. And then Zechariah obeys God by naming his own baby John, and he is released from his silence. And then God gives it to them through Zechariah, his first words declaring a new hope, or rather an age-old hope coming alive, finally. And out pours praise and prophecy. Even with John as a newborn baby, and Jesus yet to be born, the good news is being spread. God prepares the people and then gives them more time to wait as the boys grow up. Zechariah prophesies about Jesus. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of God. Here is the light at the end of the tunnel, the reassurance for the doubts and the hurts. Jesus will shine on the living in those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. God has it all in hand. We can see this, I think, really clearly in the story of Zechariah, how he had it all set out and worked out and how he brought it into being. We can trust God in the good times and the bad. God is trustworthy. Elizabeth was able to say, God has heard my prayer, even after she probably stopped praying it. I can't tell you how God will answer the cries of your heart or when, but please be reassured that he has heard you and stands with you in the time of waiting. And so we live in this time, in God's world of the now and the not yet. Jesus came, he died, he rose again. And he is with us now as we use Advent to remember the waiting of what has already come to pass and in our waiting for what is yet to come. We wait for his return with hope, with anticipation, and perhaps, if we're honest, maybe with a little uncertainty and fear too. We can be assured that God has it all in hand, and that as we wait for Jesus, he walks with us and is within us. Amen.